Well, I'm looking forward to today's message, and it is really kind of the first part of the Christmas story. I mean, this is the season where everybody's singing Christmas songs. You know, the Christmas carols are out. You know, if 92.9 is still around, I don't even know if it is. It's kind of a question we have post-hurricane, what's where. They were 24/7 Christmas music for a month. And so everybody's kind of, in spite of the brokenness of a hurricane ravaged city, everybody's starting to get, at least I am, to get into the Christmas spirit and put out the nativities and remember this is the season where we celebrate the birth of the Savior of the world, the Messiah, God in human form, God sending his son, Jesus, and what a miracle it is. But today, I really want to look at the very beginning and kind of the first miracle that we see that's leading up to Christmas. And it's out of Luke chapter 1, and it takes place with an old man or an older man and his wife. And it's Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Zechariah was a priest, and he has this amazing honor. It's like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. They drew lots to see who was going to go in and present the incense in the presence of the Lord. This is a huge deal, and it falls to Zechariah. And Zechariah is a righteous, holy man. He's a priest. He loves the Lord. But his wife's never been able to have children. And that came with a stigma, at least culturally it did, and probably some questions of like, God, where are you? God, why hasn't what I thought would happen happened? Like, where are you in all of this? Because in that culture, a woman who didn't have children was looked at through the lens of, what's the matter with her? And as a husband, you're asking, is it me? And so we have this man of God who is now called into the place, into the presence of God. And it's an honor, but he's lived a life, though righteous, probably with some questions. And so we see that Zechariah is serving God. And it says this in Luke chapter 1, verse 8. One day Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. And it was as was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense, like a 1 in 20,000 chance. Only one priest got to do it, probably only once in his lifetime. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. And while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. So I want you to think about this. Zechariah is in the temple. He's in the presence of the Lord, but an angel appears to him. And it's standing to the right of the incense altar. And Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. And you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he'll be great in the eyes of the Lord." And then he says, "You must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah." And then this is key. "He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Okay, so Zechariah goes into the presence of the Lord in the temple. He burns incense. This is like a normal duty, even though it's a special honor. And he has this visitation from this angel. And here's what the angel tells him, because when he sees the angel, like everybody else in the Bible, Zechariah kind of freaks out, and it's kind of a scary thing. It's certainly an unexpected thing, and it's also a supernatural moment. And Zechariah is starting to freak out, and the angel says this to him, and there's three key things I want us to look at, maybe four. And the first one is he says, "Don't be afraid." He says, "Don't be afraid," and because he's speaking on behalf of God. He's a messenger. He identifies himself in just a moment as Gabriel, but he's a messenger. He has a message from God, but he begins with this, "Don't be afraid." Why is that? Well, yeah, Zechariah is in front of the supernatural being that's probably huge and powerful and speaking with the voice of God. There's that fear there, but don't be afraid because there's a message from God. And I just want you to know that part of the joy and the miracle of Christmas is that Jesus was that message. And it's not just a worldwide message. It's for us as well. He says, "Don't be afraid." Then he says, and this is so good, at least for me, he says, "God has heard your prayer." We need to know, especially this year, God hears our prayers. recognize also that the nation of Israel was living under Roman rule. They were an oppressed people. They were in their ancestral homeland that God had given to them, but it seems like the promise had vanished. And for Zechariah and his wife, like the promise of children, like where was that? And so the angel spoke, don't be afraid. In other words, have faith. The opposite of faith isn't doubt, it's fear. And the angel says, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. That's the second thing. And then it's specific. It's, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son, and you are to name him John. How cool is that? And then he goes on to say that this son is going to bring them great joy and gladness, that he's going to be a blessing to the whole nation. But most of all, he says this, he says that he's going to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. This was a direct reference to the Messiah, the Savior that all Jews had prayed for millennia, that there's a Savior, there's a Messiah that's going to deliver us from this broken and horrible world. Don't we pray that? Do we pray that? Are we expecting that? Everybody in Israel was. And I can promise you this, Zechariah, many, many, many times, I guarantee you, like every other Jew had prayed, Lord, may send your Savior, send your Messiah. And here he is in the presence of a supernatural being, an angel. And the angel says, don't be afraid. God hears your prayer. You are going to have a son. You're going to name him John. And he is going to prepare the way for the Messiah. Amazing. This is a miracle, but it's also part of the Christmas story. And you would think that Zechariah's response would be off the charts, like, oh my gosh, thank you, this is great. Here is his response. Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure this will happen? This is key, and the language is key. How can I be sure that this will happen? Remember, he's at one of the most important moments of his life in the inner sanctum of the temple, has a supernatural encounter with Gabriel, and he's asking for a sign. Why? Because he wants to be certain. And it's a sign of a seed of doubt or skepticism. And if we look at the world around us, they celebrate Christmas in a sense, but we know much of Christmas has been commercialized, and it has shifted from relationally based, because we know the word of the Lord is true and that Jesus is not just baby Jesus in a manger that we see in front of a church or on a mantelpiece in a nativity, but he is the Savior of the world. See, it's turned to skepticism, and there's more than seeds of doubt in the world around us. But this priest, it's like, how can I be sure this is going to happen? And then the angel speaks again, and he says this. He says, because Zechariah says, how can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now. My wife is also well along in years. In other words, he's giving like this, how in the world are you going to have to show me? And Gabriel, I think it kind of, at least for me, reminds me of the Lord of the Rings, where Gandalf has to prove who he is and rises up. Maybe you get that reference. The angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. I hope you heard the authority of Gabriel in that, because he's saying, who are you to doubt what God has said? And we look at Zechariah and go like, how could you like that? But we do it all the time. We do it all the time. And the penalty for his unbelief was an inability to speak. It's fitting. And here's why. Look at the next verse. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. Do you want to know why they were waiting? Because when the priest would come out, he would speak out of Numbers. There's a priestly blessing. He would speak a blessing over all of the people, which is basically this out of Numbers. It's may the Lord keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May he bless you as you go out from here and you come back again. They were waiting for the priest who had been in the presence of God to come out and bring a blessing from the Lord. But Zechariah, because of his questioning, because of his skepticism and his doubt and going, how is that going to happen? Don't you see the reality of I'm an old man and my wife, she's not too young either. His skepticism cost him his voice, but it cost the people around them their blessing. So my question is, do we really believe in Jesus? Do we believe that Christmas is what we celebrate? I mean, here's the thing. There's no doubt that Zechariah believed that he was standing in the presence of the Lord. There is no doubt that Zechariah believed that the angel was a supernatural being sent by God. And I think that on some level, he heard what the angel was saying, and he may have believed that that was true, but there was something inside of him that kept him from receiving. Because can I just say that I really believe that we can believe the word of God, but not receive it as the truth in our life. Like you go like, yeah, that's true. But if that is our reality, then let me just say that we may say that we believe the word of God, but because we haven't received it as truth to us, it's no belief at all. Because faith without works is dead. And when we are demanding that God prove himself to us, we are operating in unbelief, and we want God not just to speak to us. We want to God to see him move. I'm going to go back. How can I be sure that this can happen? Because I'm old and so is my wife. Are you able to believe the Christmas story and receive it as more than just a season where songs are played on the radio that remind you of your childhood? Are you able to believe that Jesus is not just baby Jesus, but it was the Son of God squeezed into this earth suit that came as an innocent, lived an innocent, perfect life, and ultimately gave his life? His blood was shed as a sacrifice for your sins. This is the miracle of Christmas. And even a great man and a priest, he missed that in the moment when it counted. Turns out his wife was related to a young girl. Her name was Mary. And in this same chapter, we see another visitation from Gabriel to Mary. And it's shocking how similar they are. Here's what happens. Verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now remember, Zechariah, by the way, Zechariah comes out. I might as well finish that up. It says that he came out, the people are waiting for the blessing. It says when he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. They realized that from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary, but he couldn't speak of what he'd seen, and he couldn't tell everybody of what his son was going to be named, even though he could write things down ultimately. But let's shift to Mary. And it says that in the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. Everybody knows this story. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." And then look at this. So she's meeting Gabriel, the same angel that Zechariah saw. And here's her feelings. This is important. This is key. Verse 29, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Because he just came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." And she was confused and she was disturbed. And then he says to Mary the same thing. Get this. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her. "For you found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus. He'll be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Do you see the parallels, though? Gabriel shows up, Zechariah and Mary. They're both kind of freaked out, and the angel has to tell them, "Don't be afraid." Both of them are news. Hey, guess what? Somebody having a baby. And then he tells the greatness of each of those children. John, who becomes John the Baptist, and Jesus, who's the Savior of the world. It's very, very similar interactions. But where Zechariah says, how can I be sure that this is going to happen? You know, I'm kind of old, and so is my wife. Look at Mary's response. Mary asked the angel, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. It's a pure question. You know why? Because in Zechariah's question is this, how can I be sure it's going to happen? He's relating it and making it all about himself. And here's what I want you to get, that when you understand the miracle of Jesus coming for your sins to die for you, that you realize that while you're saved, it's not about you. Zechariah said, how can I be sure that this is what's going to happen? And Mary's not asking about her. She's just going, how in the world can this happen? I'm a virgin. You're telling me I'm going to be pregnant. The angel replies, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy. He'll be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age, and people used to say that she was barren, but she's conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. Look at this, verse 37. It says, for the word of the Lord will never fail. Zechariah asks a cynical question. How can I be sure this is going to be happening? Because I'm old. Mary asks, God, how can this happen to me? I'm a virgin. And the answer's the same. The word of the Lord will never fail. And look at Mary's response. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant, and may everything you've said about me come true. And then the angel left her. We know the story of Mary. She ultimately has Jesus as the Savior of the world. He's born from a virgin. But here's what I want us to get in the miracle of Christmas. When we believe and we receive, we are blessed, and so is the world around us. But when we say we believe, but we question and we allow seeds of doubt, when we operate in unbelief and fear instead of faith, knowing that the word of the Lord will prevail, keeps us from speaking, because we can't do it from a place of truth. And we're unable to be the blessing that I think we want to be to the world around us. You see, this would end a really sad story for Zechariah, but it's not the end of the story. We know the miracle of Christmas and Mary and how she is so favored. Listen, we don't deify Mary, but we honor her because this young girl had a tremendous amount of faith. And though she asked a question, she was never questioning and she was never doubting. She simply said, I am the Lord's servant. And when God speaks to us, may we have that same response. And you know how it ends for Mary. It's awesome. Zechariah, through the whole pregnancy, can't speak a word. He wasn't even, I'm sure, something he had thought of many times. What if the lot goes to me and I get to go into the presence of the Lord and I get to burn incense and honor his name and then come out and from that place bless people? He experienced all of that, but the ability to speak and be a blessing and bless people in the name of the Lord. When we believe or say we believe, but we're unable to receive, this is what happens. We fail to be a blessing because we can't speak from a place of sincerity. And so God shuts up that anointed word that's inside of us. We may be able to talk like everybody else, but God shuts up that anointed word inside of us. And like a Zechariah, when we say we believe, but we don't truly receive, and we have those cynical questions, it does something in us that keeps us from being a blessing to the world around us. This isn't the end. This is not the end, though, of this story, because here's what happens. Look at this. In verse 57, it says, when it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. Now, Zechariah still hasn't been able to say a word about this great joy that was promised him and his son that he was told to name John. And I'm sure that he wrote this out to his wife as well. It says, when the baby was 8 days old, this was the custom, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father. This is a testimony to the fact that Zechariah was a great man, and he was a priest, and he had been in the presence of the Lord, but something happened that kept him from receiving. Therefore, he wasn't able to speak what God really had told him he needed to speak and to be a blessing, but it's not the end. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth said, no, his name is John. What? They exclaimed. There's no one in all your family by that name. So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him, and he motioned for a writing tablet. And to everyone's surprise, Zechariah wrote, his name is John. Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. This ends well. Do you want to know why? Because in a moment, Zechariah went from the place of his mouth being shut to being able to speak when he confessed the truth that God had spoken to him through Gabriel. Now, he wasn't able to verbalize it because he was mute. He couldn't speak, but he took that tablet and he wrote out, his name is John, because he was operating in that moment in both faith and obedience. He believed, but he obeyed. And it was really as a confession. Confession just means this, to say the same. And when you say the same as what God is saying about you, when you say the same about what God is saying about where you've been, whether it's a blessed place or it's sin, and you take that blessing, you say, every good thing's from you, Jesus, or that place of sin, and you say, God, forgive me, that was a wrong, and I receive your forgiveness through Jesus. When we, in obedience and faith, say or write the same thing that God is, that is confession. It's saying the same. And when your word from your heart lines up with the truth of what God has spoken, as an act of obedience, as you do that, God releases blessing in your life and what we would say an anointing. That means that God's presence and power is with you and he's able to work through you. This is the miracle of Christmas, that if we do more than just say, oh, yeah, I believe, like you believe in Santa Claus. No. We believe that Christmas is a time of celebration because the Savior of the world, God in human form, coming as the Son of God, even more than just God showing up, the Son of God came into this world to live a sinless life and pay the price, the penalty for our sins, so that we can walk in forgiveness and right relationship with him. When we do more than just, oh yeah, I believe in Christmas spirit. No, I receive the truth of Christmas, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Look at what Jesus says. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. This is John 14. But if this weren't so, wouldn't I have told you? When everything's ready, I'm going to come and get you so that you'll always be with me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, even greater works, because I'm going to the Father. Ask me for anything in my name. I'll do it. I believe that, or do you receive that? See, this is the difference between somebody setting up a nativity scene or a Christmas tree because it's cultural, and somebody who's celebrating the truth because they've received Jesus. Are you going to be like Mary? Are you going to be like Zechariah? Are you going to be like the man who, like, I believe I'm talking to the angel, but I've still got seeds of doubt and skepticism? Are we going to be like Mary, who simply says, oh gosh, I love it. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come to pass. May that be us. May we receive the truth and the good news and the miracle of Christmas, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and he lived a sinful, sinless life for me, died on a cross because he loved me and you so that we can be right with him. Maybe you need to confess that truth. So pray with me. Jesus, I receive you is more than just a baby at Christmas. I receive you as the creator of all, the savior of the world, and my sacrifice. You love me so much, you died on the cross for me. My life is yours. And when you get that, it really is a Merry Christmas. So have one. Love you guys and see you soon. God bless.